Welcome back to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets, and I'm here with Angela Bachman today.
Great to be here with you, and thank you to the United Mine Workers and the Teamsters for supporting the show. We appreciate it.
And joining us right now, we've got Deb Klein of the Cleveland Jobs of Justice. Deb, welcome back.
Thank you. As always, it is a pleasure to be here with you ladies.
And today is a particularly special day for the ladies to hang out because of it is Women's Suffrage Day.
That's correct. Back in 1920, on this date, Tennessee was the state that put it over to ratify the 19th Amendment. It wasn't actually certified until August 26th, which is next week, but today is the day that we technically earned the right to vote across the United States.
All right. This is the day we changed the country.
Yes. Well, you know, and a lot of people don't realize that there were several states, like Ohio. Ohio gave women the right to vote in 1917, and there were several states across the country that allowed women to vote. And the very first state in the Union that allowed women to vote was actually Wyoming.
Really?
Yep.
I did not know that.
It's kind of interesting because if you think about it, that territory out there, Wyoming, Montana, because Montana produced the first female congresswoman, Jeanette Rankin. So it's kind of odd when you think about it because you wouldn't think that it would be that progressive. but it did.
So that's really cool. That's a fun little fact. I never knew that.
And of course, there is a little downside to this. Native Americans, in general, Native American women and Native Americans, even though many Native American women were involved in the suffrage movement, were not allowed, given the right to vote, until 1948.
What?
So it took a little bit. There were several states that would not allow Native Americans to vote. Right. It's kind of ironic. The actual indigenous people of this country were not given the right to vote until 1948.
Yeah, that is some irony. That really is.
Well, the other little fact that I found when I was kind of looking to, because I know you guys like little facts like this, Mississippi didn't actually ratify the 19th Amendment until 1984.
Wait, seriously?
Seriously. I mean, I guess we shouldn't be surprised.
I shouldn't be laughing with that. That's, like, kind of hilarious to me, really, guys?
Yep. Took them until 1984 to ratify. Now, of course, women could vote, but they didn't ratify the 19th Amendment until that point. It kind of gives you a real comment there on what they feel about women and the right to vote.
Right.
In Mississippi.
Well, guys,
they'll begrudgingly let it happen, basically, is what that sounds like to
me. Nice to see you finally got around to it.
Yeah. It's kind of amazing when you start looking at some of these facts and really go back in history and not what some of the history books have been written and the way they've been written. You find out what the true history of some of what has happened across this country. It's kind of amazing. But now, something that we take for granted so much now could be taken away from all of us because of the way they're doing voter purge in all of the states. I just looked. I wanted to see what our total was here in Ohio. And over the last 7 years since Husted has been Secretary of State in the state, he's purged over 2 million voters from the voter rolls.
Really?
2 million. Mm-hmm. And that's why I always, when it comes time for voting, and we're going to be doing municipal city votes, there'll be a primary coming up here in the first part of September. It is so important. Of course, it'd be too late right now for people. But before the deadlines for actually registering to vote, you need to check your voter registration. Do not take it for granted because there are so many times I've worked the polls in various different elections and a couple different elections as a poll observer, and people come in that have voted in the same place, the same, the same precinct, and they've never moved in the same location for the voting, and they've been removed from the polls for whatever reason. So please, people, go to your secretary, and it's really easy. You can just go to the Secretary of State in your particular state, go to the website. There's always the voting records, and check to make sure you're still registered. And if you're not, register.
Yeah, that's very important.
Yep, there's still time now for the general election because registration closes a month prior to the general election. And it's really important. I realize this is not an election year for Congress. It's not an election year for the president. Wish it was. But it's important to vote in every election. It's important to make sure that your voting record that your voting information is up to date, and so that you do have that right to vote.
Yeah, it's very important. And I know you guys in Ohio, I feel like, and I don't know if it's just because we talk to you more often, have a particularly unfortunate record of purging people from the polls in mass quantities.
Unfortunately we do. And I think this is, you know, it's happening in other, I kind of pay more attention to Ohio than I do other states, but I know it's happening across the country. I know it's not just us. It's everywhere. I should check the numbers for Pennsylvania, but I'm not sure if you guys have ever checked to see about purging, if it's been happening a lot in Pennsylvania.
I haven't really heard too much about it. It's definitely, if it's been happening, it's very under the radar. Do you have any advice to people about how to check your voter registration?
Just very easy. Go to the Secretary of State's website in your state, and there's always usually a section there that talks, you know, voters and voters' rights. It'll say voting in some way. You just go there and you just plug your name in, and it'll tell you where you vote. If it comes up with nothing, that means you're not registered anymore.
Well, that's very good advice to know.
that it could just not come up. And then that just means that you're not there anymore, like as if you don't exist. Wow, that's really distressing.
And I'll tell you, in the last year, I have helped some friends who thought they were still registered, and we found out that they weren't. So they were able to go in and re-register again, because all you have to do to fix it is to go register.
Yeah.
But if you show up on the day of the election, they'll let you vote provisionally. But then if they find out you're not registered, then it doesn't count. So,
and if you're in a place that doesn't have same day registration, then there's nothing you can do.
Like Ohio,
right? Yep.
Because and that's the other thing, is to check to make sure what the rules are for registration, how far out you can, you know, when is the last day that you can register for whatever election that is coming up. Here in Ohio, it is actually a month out.
So I do have a question for you. Do you know what the criteria is, or anything about the process of how they decide who gets booted off the voter registration? I know that's probably a very complicated question.
No, it's not, actually. Oh. It isn't. Okay. And that's why I kind of did that little laugh. The first thing they do, if you didn't vote in the presidential election for 2 years, they boot you. Okay. If the other thing, and this is the reason for the laugh, this is the kind of more dastardly way of booting people. They used to allow like the counties and other people to send out applications for early voting here in Ohio, and now they only allow the early voting applications to come from the Secretary of State's office. And right on the outside, it's, you know, how on postal, on the mail, it's if undeliverable, return to sender.
Mm-hmm.
So if your early voting application gets misdirected and sent to your neighbor's house, or just gets totally misdirected, and somebody puts return to sender on it, guess what? It goes back to the Secretary of State, and it has return to sender on it. That person gets purged.
That is
because they.
I have a lot of choice words that I can't say publicly on air about that. That is some shady stuff.
Well, let me tell you, the first time I ever went out and opened up my mailbox, and it's called caging. Mm-hmm. The first time I ever went out and opened up my mailbox and saw that application in there, I thought, same thing you just said. You know, few choice words came flying out of my mouth. You know, everybody else says, oh, isn't this nice? The Secretary of State sending out applications for early voting. I'm like, well, yeah, let me tell you what that's really all about.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, not especially if it gets, you know, if it gets, hopefully if your mail gets misdirected to the neighbor right next to you, they'll bring it over.
Yeah.
But if it gets misdirected someplace else, or, you know, who knows, if it gets ripped up in the voting machine and only partially, there's only partial address, for whatever reason, if that goes back to the Secretary of State's office, they purge that person from the voter rolls.
Ooh, that's not cool. I mean, I know for myself, if they, I mean, they don't do that in Pennsylvania because we don't have early voting. But if something like that were to happen, there's like a large likelihood something like that could happen for mine. Because, like, for instance, my home address all my life has had a second of my exact address in the next township over, same city, same zip, same everything. And all my life, we've had this, we are now on a very good first name basis with the guy who lives in the other address that matches mine. But our stuff and our mail gets mixed up all the time. Our packages end up in the wrong places. Like, if it's something important, like, okay, we'll drive it over to the house or we'll get in contact. But I can't tell you how many times the wrong mail has showed up at the wrong house because we have the same exact address.
Well, I'll tell you, when I lived on the east side, over on the east side of University Heights, I had this, I called it the Christmas card from hell, because it kept getting re-delivered to me. And every time I would put it, and it was nowhere near my address, nowhere near it at all. And what happened is it somehow got keyed, that little barcode across the bottom of the envelope. That's what they read now. So somehow it got keyed incorrectly. And every time, and I didn't know this at that time, that that's how they sort the mail now, is by those barcodes. And I kept putting it back in the mailbox. Literally, I would put it back and say, delivered to the wrong address. And I kept circling, and I don't know how many times I did it. And then finally someone said, put a line through the barcode, because that means the barcode was incorrect. So if somebody was keying in an address, and does something incorrectly in that barcode, that's what's going to happen. It'll go someplace else.
I never knew that.
I see, I didn't know it either until I said, I got this Christmas card that just kept coming back. And the address was nowhere near mine. The zip code was way off. Everything was way off, but that's why, because that barcode, something was done incorrectly in there. So, yeah, there's so much room for human error with a mail delivery, that it is no wonder that we've had 2 million people.
But, yeah. Oh, boy. Well, on that note, we are out of time. We've got to run. But real quick, what is your website before we hop out?
ClevelandJWJ.org and Facebook.com, ClevelandJWJ, and at CLEJWJ on Twitter.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Deb.
Thank you.
All right, guys, that was Deb Klein of the Cleveland Jobs of Justice. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman, and you've been listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.